Appreciate very much the message that Brother Steve has brought forth and Brother Asa has brought forth, and I desire an interest in your prayers the time that we stand before you. We'll start with Psalm 51, and there's a verse 10 that we'll specifically look at if the Lord would bless us for a few minutes. I shared with Brother Mark and Sister Chrissy that last week my sister Pam and I took a two-day trip to Florida. And I recommend if you go that you stay a little longer than that. But it sure was nice to experience some 85-degree weather for a couple of days and thaw out. And Brother Tom, it was great to be able to get rid of my long johns for a few days. You don't need them down there. And while I was there, had the privilege of visiting Brother Tim. And I was thankful and made to rejoice at how well Brother Tim seemed to be doing. And we had breakfast together at Cracker Barrel, and I said, I know there's one around here. I saw the billboard, but we drove for about 20 minutes and still trying to find this Cracker Barrel that he didn't know where it was. I didn't know where it was. And we finally eventually found it, and we had a real good time of fellowship. But we talked about and pray that the Lord would continue to bless him and hold him up, because if the Lord delivers him, it's the Lord that gets all the credit. And Brother Tim will tell you that, and it seems like the Lord is blessing him and leading him, and ask that you continue to pray for him. But in the course of the conversation, he said, regarding the challenge and struggle that he's had, and want the young folks to take heed and old folks as well. He said, Brother Stephen, he said, the environment can be changed. He said, the friends can be changed, and recognize the importance of that. Folks may have to hit rock bottom, and that may be the case. But he said, ultimately, the heart has to be changed. When I got to looking at it, just about all the problems that we have are with the heart. I got a phone call from a brother that lives in Georgia. He's in Alexandria now, and we've been praying for his wife. And he said, we're going to a local clinic at Brother Steve knows him, Brother Brian Dickerson. He said, the little hospital that my wife's going to, the problem that she's dealing with, we go back about every 2 weeks to the hospital, they check her into the hospital, and he says, they're treating her symptoms, not the problem. He said, I understand that you may know somebody that is at Johns Hopkins or University of Maryland, and we're hoping to get her in so that maybe they'll find out what the problem is rather than treating the symptoms. And I feel that maybe even all too often myself, I'll say, not these other ministers, but maybe in preaching the gospel, we may address the symptoms, and we may try to treat the symptoms when we fail to treat the problem, and that ultimately is the heart. If I'm carrying bitterness, if I'm trying to hide it, if I'm trying to live with it, if I'm trying to carry it with me, if I'm carrying non-forgiveness, The Scripture tells me that it's not really a problem with the other person, with the other individual that's wronged me, but the problem, if I don't forgive, it's a heart problem. It's right here in my heart. Brother Asa preached ably that the Scripture goes right to the heart. And it deals with heart issues. Elder Bradley, many of you know, those that you don't know, you've heard him preach on the radio, an able minister, godly man. God's blessed his ministry in a mighty way. He said, my wife had a doctor's appointment. And he said, I took her to her doctor's appointment. And she was going to have an outpatient surgery. And he said, when I arrived, he said, we were running late. We had to rush through the parking lot. We had to rush down the hall. And he said, when I arrived at the desk where they were going to sign in my wife, the nurse looked at me and said, you need some help. He said, no, I'm here for my wife. And they said, no, you need to go to the emergency room right now. You're breathing too hard. It looks like your heart rate is up. And you need some attention right now. He says, I explained to him, let's get my wife taken care of, and then I'll go and get checked out myself. They said, no, you need to go right now. He said, they took me down to the emergency room. And he said, after running some tests immediately, he said, in short order, they took me back there and did open heart surgery. And he said, I went there for my wife. But I had the heart problem. Now, there's a few surgeons that can operate on the heart. The physical aspect of the heart. And they can patch it up and they can fix it up and it may last a little bit longer. It may give us another 5 years, 10 years. You may do as well as Sister Malcolm does and you may have another 10 or 15 years extended to your life. But there's a lot of us that oftentimes need a heart surgery, and we need it spiritual. There's only one doctor that can perform that, and he reaches the heart. We may talk about the problems, we may talk about the symptoms, we may treat the symptoms. But if the heart is not changed, it just lasts for a little while. It's just a medicine to help relieve the pain. It's a band-aid to get us a little further. But if the heart's changed, then it shows forth in our actions. David was going his own way. If he saw something and wanted it, he got it. Even to the point of getting another man's wife. She became pregnant with child and he began to work behind the scenes and try to create a system and an appearance in which it would not be revealed that he was the father. And when his conniving and when his schemes did not work, then he decided to, rather than her husband reveal it, he put her husband in the front line of the battle, and then he gave strict orders for them to withdraw the troops. so that his life would be taken. And David thought he had fixed it. David had thought he would get by with it. And maybe he would from those that were around. But you see, the problem was, God knew the heart. Look at what he says here in Psalm 51. This psalm is written at the conclusion of 2 Samuel chapter 11, where David had taken the life, or he not personally, but he gave the orders that resulted in the death of Bathsheba's husband. And David thought everything was going to be okay until the Lord put it upon Nathan and revealed it unto Nathan to confront David about it. Now, God can use His Word. God can use a messenger. God can use His Spirit. God can use a situation. God knows what it takes to get our attention. And for some of us, it may take more than others. Some of us are, like Brother Steve said, more calloused, more hard, more difficult, and the Lord knows that. But did you know that's not hard for the Lord? Your case and your situation and your hardness, your old Baptist, I don't know if everybody's heard this term, but some of you probably have, and I don't know that it's a compliment, but it's something they used to use to describe old Baptists. They call them hard shells. Well, your hard shell, you may think is too hard for the Lord, but it's not at all. And He knows how to penetrate and get through it. And so the Lord sends Nathan to confront David. And then He gives him this little story. And He said, David, what would you do if there's somebody that had one little ewe lamb and it was taken? And David passed his sentence upon himself. David didn't realize that he was talking and describing his own situation. How many times when you're reading the Bible or you're hearing the Bible preached that it's describing your own situation, that you can almost take and put your name in there and say, boy, that describes me. That's describing my lot. When Nathan finished, David passed his own judgment upon his own self, not realizing that he was talking about himself. Nathan declared unto David, he said, thou art the man. Some folks may call that hitting rock bottom. Some folks may call that a change of heart. But you'll see that there was definitely a change in David. David, after being confronted, said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He says, Lord, he comes before God humbly and he cries to God and he says, Lord, would you have mercy upon me? Not because I deserve it, not because I'm worthy of it, but would you have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies? And he says, would you blot out my transgressions? Aren't you glad that you have the experience of a merciful God? Aren't you glad that God has been merciful up to this point with you and that you hope that He'll continue to be merciful with you? David says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Brother Steve mentioned this and ably he said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Do you know who it's before? It's before you, and it's before God. He says, for my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned? This is how David, how it affected David, and how the change of heart affected David, and what was wrought in David's life. And it should be an example to you and I. It should resonate with the experience that we have in our life as well. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee." He says again, "And against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." And then David just sort of throws this in there. He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Were we born into sin? Or did we start sinning soon after we were born and become sinners at that time as we begin to practice sin? Yes and yes. In both occasions, David says, "I was shapen in iniquity." He's not saying right here that it was in an ungodly sense that he was born. But what he's saying is, "I was born from a sinful father and a sinful mother." And you can't have a as perfect and precious as Ella Pearl is. It's hard to imagine it's hard to imagine that sin could even be around her, much less in her thoughts at all. But David says, "You've got a sinful mother, you've got a sinful father," and that's the case with every single one of us. And not only can we blame it on our mother and father, but we're sinners ourselves. And so there's only one that's perfect and right and just. And it's not us and it's not our parents. But it's Jesus Christ. And so what David's saying right here, he says, "I was shapen in iniquity. I was born from sinful parents." And he says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He said, I was a sinner from my birth. He said, "I was a sinner from before my birth." Maybe David didn't practice the sin. But he says, "I was created from sinful individuals." It's hard for us to comprehend or imagine that. Now, oftentimes after the children get about 2 years of age, you can understand it a little bit better. But when they're first born, it's just hard to... You just have to say, "I believe that by faith, but I can't see it. I can't experience it, but I believe what God's Word says." He says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part shalt thou make me to know wisdom." And then David says, "I'm in a mess. I'm a sinner. I can't make myself any better. I need a change. I need my sins paid for." He says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." He says, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Brother Steve said that we're not going to have religion around us that's going to cleanse us. But right here he tells us that David said, he was going right to the source. That's one thing I like about Old Baptist or Primitive Baptist or Baptist. We believe the Scriptures teach that you can just go right to the source. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to go through somebody else. You can go directly to the source yourself. David says, "I'm going right to the source. I'm going to the one that can change my heart." He says, "And by the way, make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Right then and there, David wasn't a happy man. as some of the young folks say, he wasn't a happy camper. He's pretty miserable. He felt the weight of his sin. He felt the burden of his sin. And he probably wondered if God would ever deliver him from that again. Because he knew that he had the blood of another man upon his hands. And he'd committed some awful sins. And you may say to yourself, well, I didn't do that particular sin. But if your sins weigh heavy upon you, the one you need to run to is Jesus Christ. That's who you go to. And that's what David's saying right here. And he says, Lord, he said, that joy that I one time had, that joy that I experienced when I first experienced baptism, I'm paraphrasing this. Lord, is it possible that you would cleanse me, bless me to have those experiences of joy again? You see, sin separates us in our fellowship with Christ. It hinders it. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. And then he says, hide thy face from my sins. Hide thy face from my sins. And he says, and blot out all of mine iniquities. David is crying to the Lord. And he says, Lord, he says, would you blot out all of mine iniquities? Can I tell you something? Just fast forwarding and FYI, and by the way, Jesus Christ did that upon the cross of Calvary. He did blot out not some of your iniquities, but he paid the price in full, and he did blot it out through his own blood, which was shed upon the cross of Calvary. But right at that time, David didn't feel it. Talks about in several places the assurance of your salvation. David didn't feel it right here. He didn't. Did you know that it's a blessing to have salvation? He could have saved us and not even told us about it. But it is a blessing to have the assurance of your salvation. And right here, David said, I don't feel like I'm saved. I don't feel like I'm one of his. I feel like a lost sheep. My sins are before me. I can't even experience the joy that I've had in the past because I feel far from the Lord. And he's going to the Lord and he's saying, Lord, would you restore that relationship to me? If you feel far from the Lord, you run to the Lord and you fall on your knees and you beg God to have mercy upon you. That's the one you go to. Don't blame it on your wife or your husband or your children or the preacher or the deacons. You go to the Lord. Or the church. You say, well, the church is cold. Well, it might just be that you're cold. You go to the Lord. And you ask the Lord to tender your heart. If it's the preacher, ask that he'll send you another preacher. But you go to the Lord. He says, blot out all mine iniquities. I don't believe right then and there that he felt like his iniquities were blotted out. Because all of a sudden they came right before his face. At this point, David wasn't in the business of bargaining with the Lord, negotiating with the Lord, or saying, well, what about my case? Or trying to justify it. Or trying to compromise it. None of that. And then David acknowledged, he didn't feel like that his heart was right with the Lord. You or I cannot carry in our life non-forgiveness, anger, bitterness, malice. We can't pick those things up and carry them along with us. Say, well, I'll cover it up or I'll handle it. Nobody will know. The Lord knows. And have our heart right with the Lord. David said, right now, I don't feel like my heart's right with the Lord. And David says to the Lord, he says, Lord, it could be an experience that brings us to that place. It could be God's word. A variety of things. But David says, Lord, would you one more time? He'd already said, would you have mercy upon me? Would you blot out my sins and blot out my transgressions? And then he says, Lord, would you create in me? All of a sudden, David wasn't concerned about everybody else. Like the apostle that said, well, what about John? David said, Lord, would you create in me a clean heart? Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? And Lord, I also need some more help. I know that my spirit's not right with you. I know that my spirit's not right with those that are around me. I know that there's some things I'm struggling with that Lord, I need your help. And he says, Lord, would you not only create a clean heart within me? Would you change my heart? David was already a child of the king. David was already a child of God. But at this time, David didn't feel very much like he was a child of the king, because God had removed that assurance that he had at one time experienced. And did you know that God is not going to let us live any kind of way and away from Him and then turn right around and give us just loads of assurance of our salvation? The first thing you're going to doubt when you are away from the Lord or you're pursuing sin or a sinful course is you'll probably, Satan will begin to tell you. God's not going to tell you this. Satan's going to tell you this. He's going to say, well, you probably aren't one of His anyway. You're probably not even an elect. Well, if you were an elect, you sure wouldn't act like that. If you were an elect, you sure wouldn't think like that. If you were an elect child of God, you sure wouldn't say that. Satan ever worked in you that way? David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And he says, and renew a right spirit in me. He said, would you change my heart and would you restore the right spirit within me? And look at this. This is so neat how God put this in here. He said, Lord, would you create in me a clean heart? Would you renew a right spirit within me? I believe that David was crying unto God for him to have mercy upon him and to change his heart and make it right. He says again, Lord, don't cast me away from your presence. And Lord, don't take me away. Don't take thou Holy Spirit from me. And then he says again, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We sing a song, oh, the joy of thy salvation, when from sin set free. David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And he says, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then he says something else right here. Now I want to encourage you. Maybe you've pursued a course that was ungodly. Maybe you've made some big mistakes. Maybe you've taken some wrong turns. But look at what he says right here. He says, Lord, would you restore to me the joy of my salvation? Would you uphold me with thy free spirit? Would you change me, Lord? Would you put me on the right path? Would you give me the right spirit? And he says, then, and only then, he says, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He says, Lord, if you change my heart, not a bargaining chip, not a bargaining deal. He says, Lord, if you'll change my heart, if you'll change my spirit, if you'll put me on the right track and you'll give me the right direction. He said, then Lord, I want to go and help somebody else. Isn't it amazing to you how that you can usually go, if you can go to somebody that's been where you are and experienced what you're experiencing, the burden, the trial, the difficulty that you have, if you're able to go to them, isn't it amazing how that they can help you if you see that God has delivered them? It's an encouragement to you. And that's what he's saying right here. He says, Lord, I want to help somebody else. He says, after you create a clean heart within me, after you change my heart, after you give me a renewed spirit, he says, then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. If you brought a pen and piece of paper and want to write some of these verses down, they'll be great for you to read. I'll share a few with you. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. It's interesting, but when he's talking about the heart situation, it's something that's between the individual and the Lord. Jeremiah tells us about our heart, and Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart, if you're without the work of grace, without the Lord changing your heart, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is he saying right here? You can't say I have one thing in my heart. And then as Brother Steve was saying, what you do, we're to be doers of the word, what you do, what we do, what I do, what you do, is a reflection of the heart. If the Lord's first in our life, if His assembly, if His church, if His kingdom, if His Word, if His fellowship, if the fellowship with His people are foremost in our life, that will give evidence to what's in your heart. It will. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about doing the will of God from the heart. John chapter 14 verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That's Jesus Christ. And then Philippians chapter 4 verse 7, Paul talks about and describes. And he says, "And the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your heart, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We talked about over the last couple of months. We talked about putting forth an effort. And I believe that's taught, that Paul teaches it clearly. That we put forth effort in our life to not give place to the devil. Elder Sonny Piles, that many of you have heard preach, many of you know. He says, "In my preaching, I may not be able to keep you from sinning, but," he says, "I hope I can keep you from enjoying it." Did you know what? When the Lord changes your heart, He'll keep you from enjoying it, and He'll give you a great desire to not do it. And when you do, you'll be grieved in the heart. A lot of times our problems are not what we think they are. It's a heart problem. May God create in us a clean heart. And may God renew a right spirit within. May God bless you.